Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guests today are Harvey and Carice, and you might hear those names. They might sound a little familiar to you because they are the co-hosts of the Love is Black podcast. And Janelle and I were featured on an episode. If you haven't gone and listened to that episode or their podcast at all, we're going to need you guys to go back and listen to that and support. But thank you guys so much for accepting our invitation to be on the pod.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for having us. Hooray.
So to kick things off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Me first?
Yeah.
It's always ladies first. Okay. Sorry. All right. So
Before beauty.
Yeah, there we go. Yes, this feels a little strange, but I'll do my best. I am Harvey, the second half of this. I'm in the crowd. My wife is the star of the crowd.
49%.
I'm the 49%. She's the 51%. My voice is there. It's just not heard. So I'm a stay-at-home dad of four children, four raucous, crazy children, but they're ours. I also host my own podcast called Men of the Prize and I'm co-host of Men of the Prize of Love is Black with this really attractive woman who's sitting next to me, but I can't see her. I don't know what to say. That's about it for me right now. What you got, girl?
Hi, I'm Carice. I am married to Harvey. And
you can't see me doing this, but it's
We have a really great time most of the days. We have a really great time. I hope co-hosting podcasts. I work from home running several businesses. And so we spend a lot of our days together too. And when I'm not driving him crazy, I'm, driving him like a slave owner, I guess, because I'm just out.
Did you see how you can't see this, but her hand went into the whipping motion very simply. Dare I say it was almost Caucasian. Like she just, I'm used to whipping black people. Like he was calm as hell with that.
Sorry for our introduction.
No, it's helping us get to know you, letting our audience get a feel for what this episode is going to be like.
So much fun.
Alrighty. So we know you guys are married, but how long have you guys been married?
Harvey, do you know how long we've been married?
13 going on 14, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It was almost like a quiz.
It was a quiz. You got to ask.
Yes. Now's not the time to fail.
Exactly.
Because there is a time to fail. Yes. Right.
Wow. Yeah,
I got the numbers right, but
And how did you two meet?
We met at work. I think I met Harvey after he already was kind of aware of me. I wasn't really aware of him. We were doing sales or like telemarketing for cable, whatever. We were selling cable and there was a whole floor of people. So when I say that, it's not like it was the two of us right next to each other. And like, I was supposed to be aware of his existence. It's like a floor. Imagine an entire like warehouse space type building full of people. I was not aware and I had a boyfriend. And so I wasn't fully aware, but I like to like do little things. I baked. And so I brought in cupcakes one day and, this gentleman comes over and yes, we can have a cupcake. And I said, of course you can have a cupcake. The cupcakes are for absolutely anybody. Introduced himself. And I would like to say the rest is history, but that's not really the case. So I was dating someone. We had different teams and like sections of cubicles. And I wound up being transferred onto his team, onto Harvey's team after, maybe a month or so after we had met.
Right.
And we were sitting next. Were we sitting next to each other right away?
At the very least, maybe diagonal of each other, but we were in that same kind of forest spacing. Yeah, okay. We were pretty close.
Okay. And he would make all these little comments. Like, he would say, I would tell stories about my boyfriend and how he was like such a terrible person. And he would make all these little comments like, well, if you were with me, you wouldn't have those problems. Or like, I don't know. I say it and it sounds very lax or it sounds very obvious. But the way he said it, like everybody around us would be laughing. I would be laughing too. Like he made it almost like a joke. So I didn't think he was ever serious. Like, why would I think you're interested in me? I'm telling you all these boring stories about how, you know, I really don't like my boyfriend right now. And so, you know, from there, we developed a friendship. And yeah, I don't know. At some point I left my boyfriend and we became a couple. I don't know. Do you have a better version of this story?
A better version?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go back in time.
Okay.
So both working in the same place. Mm-hmm. I walked in one day, you had your table of baked goods. And not that I was really interested in them because it was you I was interested in, but I needed a way to come see you. And wasn't it cookies? I don't think it was cupcakes. Wasn't it cookies?
I thought it was cupcakes. I definitely put that in our vows. So if it wasn't cupcakes,
okay, let's go with
now cupcakes. Is not the time.
So we're not going to change it after 30. It was cupcakes. So tasty. The best cupcakes I ever had. Ever. So good. I forgot. Yeah. Okay. So they were cupcakes. And
Really quickly, I felt bad. So the cupcakes were for everyone, but I felt bad about giving him a cupcake because he was very heavy into his like fitness routine. Like during lunch, he would go to the office gym every single day. He would change clothes out of his work attire into gym clothes and he would go work out and whatever. And like, you would always see him going back and forth. And so I was like, oh man, should he be having like cupcakes? Like, this is weird. Like, I don't know that I want to give him the cupcakes. It felt kind of bad, but you took the cupcake. Go ahead.
I would just like to say, and no comment need be made, but it sounds like somebody was aware of me. That's all I'm going to say. Now, so I pulled up. I'm like, yeah. Oh, but you didn't see me walk back and forth to the gym every day.
Yeah, I see a lot of people do all things.
Too late, baby. It's recorded. So, I had never had no chance of getting married. I had not seen any positive marriages in my life, my parents, anybody around. So it wasn't something I was going to do. I saw her, I had to marry her. That's really what it is. It's very much the love at first sight thing for me. I walked over, I needed to get closer to see her. Look, you know, can I have a cupcake? Yeah, it was definitely a cupcake. So I had a cupcake. And then from then on in, I'm just like, oh, there she is. And then I think your schedule changed and it worked out because you would work at night. Mm-hmm. And then your schedule changed and you worked during the day, which is when I worked and you were on one of the day teams, which is my team. And we were hanging out. And I think it was apparent to everybody around us that I was feeling her. Everybody knew. How she didn't know, I don't know, whatever. She oblivious. But everybody knew. Everybody was aware. You could say what you will. Everybody was like, what's interesting is that our boss, I guess our manager, tried to hook you up with one of the other people in the group, knowing that I was feeling you. It was real disrespectful.
Real disrespectful.
All kinds. Like I thought he was my boy. And then he like brought the dude over and I'm here and she's there. And I'm like watching him trying to like, it's like the match game. Like, what is this?
By the way, I have a boyfriend, but go
ahead. Right. Because that's important. The same guy you were talking junk about the whole time. But oh yeah, but he's a big deal. So then she would say,
I'm still together.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
I'm a joker. So I'm making comments. I'm like, you know, drop that zero, get with this hero, you know.
Seriously.
I didn't get out every day. Damn, it was like I had different lines. Like on a Tuesday, I came out with the fire. That was a Monday line. But I mean, different things. And I thought it was apparent. It was apparent that I was feeling her. But yes, she did have a boyfriend. I knew the dude. He was a mess. I was really just laying it cut, waiting for her to be like, why am I still with this dude? And that's what happened. Eventually she left. I did have one rule, was that because of a previous experience that I would never date somebody that I worked with. I had a horrible experience dating somebody I worked with before. Mm-hmm. So not doing that again. So she was relieved of her duties, but still dating this dude.
Oh,
right.
So it worked out well.
I don't like that description, but go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably the nicest way you could say it, though.
Exactly. Right.
No.
Okay.
It still sucks.
Okay. That's one day you just weren't there anymore. That's what it was. I don't know why, but you just wasn't there. And then they see you
chose to leave.
You chose to leave, and they agreed.
A mutual separation.
There you go.
So she was gone. She stopped dating the guy. And then at this point, we had been hanging out. We were friends. We were talking. And we went out to eat. And I was like, do you see anything with us happening? Because I think I was at this point where she wasn't dating this guy anymore. And like, is something going to happen? Because now there's no more barriers. There's no barrier for me because we're not colleagues. And there's no barrier, at least in my eyes, for you because you're not dating this guy anymore. But I wasn't entirely sure where you stood. So I'm like,
right. In his eyes, there were no barriers. In my eyes, I, one, just got out of a relationship. Two, I have two children, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I was in school and I needed to look for another job after, you know, I left and my employer agreed that I leave peacefully the premises. And so I'm like, I got a lot going on. Like, I don't know that I can entertain this situation right now.
That's true. So I put that out there and I believe you were like, what did you, was it so along the lines of, I don't know.
Yeah. I've got a lot going on.
I'll let you know type of thing. Like, I feel like it was something like that.
Yeah. It was very much like, I don't really know if I can do this right now. Like, I want to know if I can commit to this. And I don't know, what was it, a week later or something like that?
I feel like after that, and it kind of started something with us. I feel like, was it the next day that I then texted you to say that, wasn't that when it started our texting? I texted you to say I had a really good time, blah, 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 whatever, or good morning. And I guess it was a week. I felt like it was sooner, but then we kind of started hanging out more. And so it would be like after school, you would come hang out at my apartment, or we just found ways to just kind of get together and hang out. And I think we became pretty serious pretty fast after that.
Yeah.
I just played the waiting game. I just chill, make some decisions, you know, and obviously there's a lot to it because she had, and I'm like, obviously if I'm dating her, obviously the kids are a part of that. It's a package deal. So I can understand any thoughts about, you got to be extra careful. But I feel like once we became a thing, we clicked, I think, pretty quickly.
We did. Yeah. That's a long story about how we met.
Yeah.
That's fine. So when did you introduce him to your kids?
I feel like that happened very early on, too. I don't remember how long it took because, okay, so here's the thing to remember is that we were friends first for a while. And I don't remember how long it took once we were officially dating, but it definitely was not a super long time, maybe a couple of weeks at best, because immediately, like, I'm going to school, I'm working because I had a new job at that point, and I have the children. And so I don't have a whole lot of free time. So it became where we had to do things with the children in order for us to be able to do anything at all.
Right.
Because my free time and his free time, when it linked up, I'm with my kids. So we started Family Fridays where we'd pick the kids up from daycare and we would go and take them out to eat. So we'd do, like, you know, silly places. Like, we'd take them to McDonald's or we'd take them to IHOP. They used to love IHOP or Friendly's. Yeah. Oh, anywhere that the kids would really love, where the kids menu was like lit, that's where we were going. So that's where our dates very early on, it very much involved the children.
And Family Friday still exists for us. Yeah. We still do Family Friday. So that's it's something that consistently we've done.
Yeah.
And but the first time, I feel like the first time, I don't know about official, their kids, but the first time I met the kids, we went out to lunch one day. It was me, you,
Ruby Tuesday.
Miss that place.
Yeah, I know. I used to have salad bar with some chick. I loved that salad.
The truth.
Oh my goodness. So we went in there, and so Zarius is 4, Alina's 2. And me and Alina, we clicked because we both like broccoli.
I didn't even know she liked broccoli. She would not eat broccoli any other time. But like, if he's around, broccoli.
broccoli. So we, I'm like, hey, you want some broccoli? And she had it and boom, it was a wrap, you know? And, we, and from then on in, and I will say that for me, the idea of dating somebody with kids was a concern that I had also. Okay. Because I'm a parent of divorce, so I have step parents and blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't something I was sure I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I will say, and this is, I'm not trying to do this to sound cheesy or anything, but a lot of rules, a lot of stuff that I had that I held dear to me really changed because I met her. A lot of things that I wasn't going to do, like I wasn't going to get married, married her. Children, I don't know, met her. Yes. So it's big talk until you see the person you're going to marry. At least I can say I know that was for me. Okay. So I wasn't sure if I was going to be a good dad or be a good influence or whatever. And, but me and Alina, we were good. Zarius, new dad, he was kind of around, but we kind of hung out and it just kind of blossomed. I think we did pretty well. I think they kind of took to me. I think we did pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long did you guys date before getting engaged?
We never officially got engaged. So how long did we date before we got married?
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. We started dating October 17th, 2008. Mm-hmm. We got married August 13th, 2009. So however many months between October to August? 10?
Just 10 months.
10 months.
Mm-hmm. So how do you get married without getting engaged?
Very good question. I really wish I had a solid, like, good answer to this question that would make me feel like, oh, yeah, that totally justified it. We just had a conversation. Like, we're going to get married. Yeah. Like, let's just get married. It was like a phone conversation, too. It was not like an in-person over dinner. Like, let's decide this in person. I don't know. We just decided to get married.
It was going to happen. I mean, I know engagement and the proposal and the ring and all that stuff, that's a big deal. But me and her, I knew already. It took her a while to realize what I had seen. But once we've been together for a while, it was just going to happen. So we didn't need, I don't think we needed the formality of engagement or anything. We were getting married. You were my wife in waiting, honestly, to me. So
when we got married, I was heavily pregnant.
That helped too.
So yes. That helped significantly. So there was a little bit of a
tell me how that rushed things along.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to pretend like, oh, I wouldn't have enjoyed an engagement. I still tell him I would have liked an engagement.
You're right.
Surprise me one day.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It may happen. And you know, it will. But I think we kind of skipped some stuff, and this might be stuff you probably would have asked anyway, so I think we'll help. So October 17th, we're official dating, whatever. And I think February, we found out you were pregnant. Do you remember?
No, it had to be like February.
Was February?
February, March.
Yeah.
That we found out you were pregnant. And we have a 10-year age difference between the two of us.
Oh.
Right. So actually, that has nothing to do with this. I don't know what I said that, but I just get that out the way. So we were dating for a while, and I'm Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
And
did someone dream of fish?
Say what?
Did someone dream of fish?
As Caribbean, there is a protocol to when you were dating someone and you need to introduce them to the family, do whatever. And I didn't. Ooh. It wasn't like I'm not bringing you to meet my mom. It just never really happened.
I did. I met your mom.
No. Eventually. Yeah, you did.
Before I was pregnant, I met your mom.
Once. Right.
At a family event. Mm-hmm. So I met some other family too. But then the next time that I saw her, it was to tell her that we're pregnant.
Right.
And so she was thrilled.
Yeah.
So very thrilled, I could imagine.
Oh.
Super thrilled.
So she played it up like she was amazing. Like this was Sealy from Color Purple. Like she was on, like, and I knew this was some BS. I don't know if this is an adult podcast, but this was some BS. I'm watching it like, oh my God. But I knew what was coming on the back end. Like when we drove away.
That was so loud.
And
he's
I'm like
that was all fake.
That was fake. Like the minute I drop you off, phone's ringing. somebody's waiting at the apartment. Like, what? Like, I knew how she felt, but she was being nice. So
at least she was nice.
At least she was nice. So, so basically she's pregnant, and I think, like I said, I knew I was going to marry you anyway, but that helped.
But yeah, it definitely helped. Nobody's family was excited about it, but his family took it very poorly. My family took it like, well, if she's pregnant, does that mean that you take her and these kids? Because if so, yay, we're all about it.
That's what it was. Trying to run out them rooms. You know what we can get for these rooms?
Go. It's like, oh, you're pregnant. Great. Are you guys, you're going to move? Oh, awesome. When do we need to help you pack?
It's funny. It's really, each family was really the opposite.
Yeah.
Your parents, I think I'd spent enough time where they've seen me. So they knew me then.
They really liked him.
And they really liked me. And then I knocked up their daughter. I'm like, well, if this is going to be the guy that did it, you know, okay. And he wants to marry you too. Oh my God.
They were literally.
Who is this guy? It's amazing. You know, my side of the family was like, what are you doing? One, because most of them didn't know that I was really dating somebody. Two, I went from being single in most of their eyes to, oh, by the way, I'm getting married in September. Say what? And the girl I'm marrying has two kids and she's pregnant. All hell breaks loose. That's you doing what? And then it was all in hate. And what was interesting is that the men in my family, not really much, I guess, any kind of word. The women were like, what are you doing? Don't get trapped or whatever. And a lot of them associated my situation to my dad, because my dad was dating my mom and got pregnant. She was 17 when she got pregnant, 18 when she had me. And they were under this impression that the same kind of thing was happening to me. And I'm like, no, this is the person I'm going to marry. Even
though Harvey was in his 30s.
Even though I was in my 30s and she was 23.
Yeah.
So the family wasn't really happy with all this. And at the same time, I wasn't in a good place with my dad. I hadn't spoken to him in a very long time, So he contacted me one day. He's like, hey, I'm going to be in town with your sister. We want to come and meet your fiance. Right. Okay, sure. So he comes out with my sister. They meet Carice for the first time. Full on, you know, you're showing by then, full baby, and, you know, full baby showing. And then that's the first time they get to meet. The first time I spoke to him in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I had family talking to me, whatever. One thing about me is that I'm pretty direct. I'm very black and white about most things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, listen, you guys are all family. You can say what you want to me. You've earned that by being my uncle, my dad, my mom, whatever. I will hear what you have to say, and then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. So my dad was like, oh, you sure you want to marry this girl? What are we, blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, all right, I hear you. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to marry her. We're having a child. We're a family. This is what it is. I had to have that same conversation with my mom. Different people they weren't really happy with the situation. Most of them didn't think we were going to last, all kinds of stuff like that. But I'm like, this is the person I'm marrying. And if this is not something you're going to be happy with, the invitation can be revoked. Like, you don't have to come to the wedding. And if people, my family knows me, there's really no games with me, especially once it's going to be my wife. You're not going to say anything about my wife and my kids, because those are my kids, simply put. And so it was a little testy in between me and my mom, my dad. Me and my family. It's fair to say. Everybody, whatever. But nothing like a wedding.
To bring some people together.
To kind of soothe the worried soul, you know?
Or at least for appearances.
Or for appearances, exactly, for shows. But then another month or two later, Sienna's born. And then all is well with the world. Yeah.
Crazy how that happens.
Isn't it? Not like a baby.
They have all kinds of words. And then the baby's born. And it's like, what a blessing. Look at God. Isn't this just a proof of God's glory? And you're just like, bam. I remember the conversations you were having 2 weeks ago. This is the same
6 months ago.
Baby. It's just now outside. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that was a very active year for us. So between getting together, we were living together a month before the actual wedding. So we were kind of living in sin for a while, you know, all of the stuff. We didn't know.
Just piling it on.
Yeah, no, we were living in sin for like 1 week.
Okay, that was living in sin.
Oh my God. We got married in October, in August. I'm sorry.
August,
we got married
on the August, low. On the low.
In a courthouse wedding and then married like publicly. We had a wedding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. September.
Right.
Yeah.
We had to do the, you know, responsible thing. Got her and the kids on the insurance, made things on the good, you know. And then,
right.
Yeah. And then a month later, 2 months later, marriage, babies, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that first year work for you guys? Because that was a lot of change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was terrible. So I was used to having, I had my first two essentially without an additional parent, right? So the sperm donor in that situation just wasn't really present in their lives actively, I should say. And so they have the same sperm donor, but whatever. I was used to doing it by myself for the most part. And now to have like this third baby, which at this point, I mean, you guys have probably seen commercials or like TikToks or whatever, where it's like first baby, you're like all over them. Second baby, you're like, eh, they'll be fine. Third baby is like, you know, you could toss the baby up and like the baby. Doesn't matter. But that's my third and it's his first. And it's my first time trying to do something with somebody else. So I'm like, wait, you don't change diapers the way I change diapers. I have to share the baby with you. So if I'm breastfeeding, that means I have to pump now. Now I don't want to sit down and like pump milk and then whatever, just so that you could feed the baby. We just put the baby like, I don't know. We clashed a lot that first year.
Yes, definitely. So once I found out she was pregnant, I was like, I'm going to be here for everything. So I was at every appointment. We were able to schedule it out so your appointments were on my day off from work. So every appointment I was there, I wanted to be there for everything. And I was. And so that seemed okay. And that was maybe the easiest pregnancy I've ever seen. Like we've since had another baby who was different, but Sienna just pregnant, good baby. And everything was well. And then it was a combination of bringing a new child into the world with a father who's present. And we just moved in together a few months ago. So it's a whole lot of change.
Oh my gosh. I learned a lot about myself because I remember before we moved in together, he had lived by himself previously, but then I was living at home with my family. And so I was like, I'm going to be super easy to live with. Like I'm easygoing, totally laid back, like not going to be a problem. Second we move in, I'm already seeing issues. I'm like, what is he doing? Why did he put that there? What are we doing with this? This can't be like this. No. That easygoing went out the window. I think like 5 minutes into us moving in, it was really bad.
Oh, you're going to put the dishes there?
Boom. Dead ass. Allow me. I was washing some dishes.
Allow me.
And all I felt was like, there was just somebody in the distance, you know, like a whole, you know, like a horror film. And there's some darkness, just a shadow of somebody watching you. I'm surprised there wasn't music playing. Like I was washing the dish and apparently the way I placed the sponge down was not to her specifications. And seriously, like, I'm like, oh, damn, this what I got into? Like the sponge wasn't placed properly. And it was beef from then on.
So I have issues with that recollection of the story.
What? But of course you do.
But let's just say the first year wasn't super pleasant. We had a lot to learn about ourselves, about how we would live together, about co-parenting, about what that meant for not only our baby that's new, but then these other two children that are there. Uh-huh. Like, how are we balancing all of this? I was a stay-at-home mom
right. That
first year, trying to juggle all the kids, which is stressful in and of itself. Uh-huh. I think that wasn't the first time that I did that, but the first time I did it with three. And so that was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
For me, obviously, my first child, my first biological child. So that's a different experience for me. And what So we all had a whole ton of stress. I know me, I'm trying to ingratiate my kids, myself, to these two new kids. And now we're living together. Mm-hmm. And then I have this new baby that comes to the world. And I'm trying to make this conscious effort to treat everybody the same, to just be dad for everybody. Mm-hmm. What I did have was a baby who came into this world who literally hated me for 6 months.
Oh, dead ass. Oh,
Sienna hated me from door. So dang. This is like the first baby. This is my first baby.
She hated everyone. I know he hates it when I say that, but the only person she would stay with and be quiet was me. Anybody else tried to touch her, it was
or you.
It was a problem. Yeah, I know. See, poor me. But then I had to bear the brunt of this child like all the time. But
no, no. Yes, Harvey, I very much wish the baby took to you. That's very hard. But like, she's it. Yes. She has those two older children who are used to her. So if you have rules, I'm going to my mom.
Sounds like today.
Anyway, yes, no, this baby would cry. Like I had left to go pick up my mom one day and he was with the baby and she cried. She did not eat. What was it? 6 hours.
It was six hours.
Gone. 6 hours. Yeah. I was gone. She cried, did not eat, took like a 15-minute nap in that 6 hours. She cried the entire time with him, would not take a bottle, would not like. So this is the type of child that we're dealing with. Like nobody was OK. Nobody was OK.
So and like, y'all decided to do it again?
I know, right? I know, right?
So that whole situation was hard, clearly hard on both of us. We had a lot going on. Mm-hmm. But as like the first time dad, that whole first 6 months was just like, what am I doing wrong? And in the back of my head, it's not personal. That's mom. I recognize that. But that doesn't change the fact that my first child like won't even deal with me. It's still a very painful feeling to deal with. And eventually, you know, we cool now, you know, but it took a while for us to get there. Mm-hmm. And so that just added on to the stress of the first year of marriage, first year of me being a parent, all these things that add on. And it obviously stuff like that is going to have an effect on a new marriage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a tough year for us, but, you know, we made it.
How did you guys learn to handle the conflicts and challenges that came up, not just in that first year of marriage, but just in general?
I think it's been a constant evolution. How we interact with each other has definitely changed and evolved over the years. When we were married and had this baby, I was what, 24? Mm-hmm. You know, you were 34 or 35?
30.
I don't know. But yeah. Like in your 20s, you're really not even like an actual person until you're like 27, 28. Before that, you're like a kid, like your brain's not fully developed. I don't know. So we had a lot to grow through as I was still maturing and trying to raise children and be somebody's wife and still in school and trying to like better myself. Like all these things had to kind of come along. And so communication kind of came in time. I think it took us a few years to kind of get to a really good spot with communication. Now we're overly communicative.
Communicative, yes.
Yes, I use the word properly. We're overly communicative, where if I'm feeling something, I'll say it. Sometimes I have grown, ladies, okay? Sometimes I don't even say anything. I just walk away. I'm like, whatever. If he's still doing the dishes the same 14 years later, I'm gonna let it go. I'm just not gonna be in the room when he's doing dishes. Oh my
God. And that's on gross.
Exactly. Thank you.
Gross.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It's funny to me how it's those small things. Like I have a sister and we, you know, raised in the same household, known each other our whole lives. The way we attack dishes, so different. And it's just like, it's funny how it's like small things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like being from two separate households, being two separate individuals, it's crazy. Yeah. It's better just to walk away and just accept it.
Yes. I pick my battles now. I even do that with the children. I'm just a lot more zen. I'm not going to let anybody attack my peace. Like I just walk away.
if it's really important and I have to verbalize it, I verbalize it. But we have conversations now. Less arguments. It's just all conversations. Like, hey, you know, I really didn't like this thing that happened on Tuesday. And then we just talk about it. I don't know.
Okay. Do you guys know your love languages by any chance?
We did a whole episode about love languages. Mm-hmm. I want to say that my love language is quality time.
I felt like acts of service had a hand in that too, though, right?
It might be acts of service. I don't know. A little bit. I don't know. I really don't really resonate with any of them supremely. Like, none of them really feel like, oh, yes, that's my thing. But I like acts of service. I mean, that's nice. Why wouldn't I like it? But I also like quality time. I would, if I had to pick one over the two, I'd pick quality time. Do I get quality time?
Yes, you do.
Oh, I do?
You do. Wow. Do. Clearly you don't if you ask it.
Just verifying. And what's yours? Physical touch.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I think the majority of men, I think that we like the intimacy. We like the affection. I have a hot wife. Why wouldn't I? So that to me, and that's always been the case for me. And I can be brutally honest about that. And I like quality time. Her idea of quality time is watching like the Housewives.
Every Monday.
Housewives of like Broward County. Nobody wants to see that.
There is, like, no Housewives of Broward County.
It's just.
And here we are with the problem of the quality time. Like, he doesn't even know what he's supposed to be doing during the quality time. Watching this.
I don't know. I did watch some of that stuff, and I tried. I made legitimate effort, but I felt dumber for watching. Like,
we used to watch Bad Girls Club.
Yes. Sure. Oh my God, we watched some stuff. Oh, so good. And then.
And then slowly he started fading away from me. Oh my God.
Wow. I sneak out the room. They're fighting again. Oh, I can run out now. Whatever. But yes. And because now we're both home, mm-hmm. I feel like we kind of get that. I don't know if it's quality time, but we're kind of in each other's presence a lot more than we were before.
Yeah.
But quality time is good when you have 40 kids like we do. Quality time is important. We get away to
intentionality.
Intentionality. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, we really do have to be intentional about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes, we've definitely gotten better as communicators. We were talking about that. And with time and just recognizing sometimes I'm more one of those people, I like to handle something in the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm annoyed about something. Let's do it.
I can't always.
She's not one of those people. So we need some space type of thing. And I think we just realized that we're married and we have to work with each other. So mm-hmm. we have to find ways. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. But that's marriage. That's the, you know, that's the job, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
So let's see, 10 years. So 10 years, I will be 58.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And in 10 years, and this is from you, I will be in a home.
I did not say that.
She will have me in a home, and she's promised that she will visit me every day. She will visit me every day. Not.
I mean, 58 is pretty young to be putting somebody in a home.
Exactly. I never said he would be in the home
at 58. Oh, wait a minute.
I did not give him a number. I said that when he gets to the point where he needs a good amount of help, we're going to make sure that he has that help and support. And so, you know, there will be a nice assisted living home, of which I will be there all throughout the day. But when it's time for bed, I'm going home to my bed.
Okay.
That doesn't have to be 58. It could be 78. We
Yay,
don't know.
Wife. As soon as, like, if I even yawn, you're out the room. You're going to break out. How fast? Are you tired, Harvey? Car's still running. Gotta go. You know? So I misspoke. She's been talking about an active adult home forever. And as soon as we qualify for that, we're that. But 10 years, I plan on still being quite active. 10 years from now, we will just
have an 18-year-old.
That's right. 10 years from now, we'll have an 18-year-old, the last kid, probably heading to college or something, 3 adult children doing who knows what. And I think by then, probably, you think we'll still be living where we are?
I hope not. I hope. Dear God, no.
We're in a different location. Our kids are kind of in a good space. We're doing well. We want to eventually start traveling and start doing things.
But together, we'll say that in 10 years, if nothing else, we'll be together.
I like that.
So in your 13 years of marriage, 13 going on 14, what has been the best part about marriage?
I think the best part, and he was so quick to whip his head over here, he's just waiting for me to answer.
Because I've been going first a lot. Your turn.
We had already decided from the beginning it was age before beauty. Okay. Just saying. But and I think the best part for me is having that person. Like, you really are my person. You're my absolute best friend. If there's anything that's the remote littlest thing, I always want to talk to him about it. So like, if something happened on the Housewives, like, that's who I want to talk to about it. Or anything that happens just in my regular life, like anything. If I get cut off on the road, I'm like, oh, like Harv. And I just want to like talk to him about any and everything, whatever little thing, stupid thing is in my mind. So it's just having my person, I think.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a loaded question for me, but I will say the best part is this marriage is not what I expected to be involved in life, because I had no intention of being married. Mm-hmm. So I am in something that I was very pessimistic about. My parents were in a very toxic, it was a terrible marriage. It just was not something that I had good memories about. So to be with somebody who I love in every way, my best friend too, you know, something happened in wrestling. I want to tell Carissa about it, you know, oh my God, look at Roman Reigns. But no, but she's not listening to that. But I have, but I have a best friend. I have a parent, I have an adult in life, because we have all these kids. So it's so good to be able to have an adult conversation about anything, mm-hmm. but to just have, and very much, you are very much my person. And I don't have a lot of friends in the world. I can say that. So I value the friendships that I have. And obviously she's my wife, but she's my best friend too. So if nothing else, I have a person I can depend on who can depend on me. And that's the best part of many that I've gotten from this man. Oh, he's so cute. Look at you.
Oh, I love it.
So I know, Harvey, you've always mentioned, like, throughout that marriage was not something that you were looking for. It wasn't going to be a thing until you met Carice. But Carice, was marriage on your radar? Was that something that you wanted?
Very much so. I think I've always known I wanted to be a mom and a wife, like, my whole life. I thought, like, if you could have sat me down at 16 and told me, like, what's your 10-year plan? I'm going to college. I'm going to become a choreographer. I am going to be engaged by the time I leave college. I'm going to get married. We're going to have babies. And, like, life is going to be all these things. And then it went nothing like that. It went, like, so far left, but it is something that I definitely knew I wanted. Definitely. Yeah.
Nice.
And Harvey, I know you said it's because you met her that changed for you, but what specifically changed where you just like, okay, I know I need to marry her?
Good question.
Well, there's no real logical way to describe it. It was very much, I saw who my wife was going to be. I walked into the room and she was there. And I didn't know her. I'd never spoken to her. I didn't even know what her name was. It was very much, wow, who is that? That's my wife. And as, I don't know, it's not cynical. That's not the right word. It's kind of unbelievable, unexpected, especially for somebody who wasn't going to get married. Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to marry her because I saw my wife. That's really it. And from then on in, she always says she doesn't believe in that. Like, she could have been a serial killer. Like, she could have been all these things. I guess I love a serial killer. What am I going to do about that? And it just is what it is. That's what did it. I'm like, everything that I really thought, I think maybe seeing her, I was willing to risk it. I think that might be the best way to describe it. I had not seen it positively. It was never a good looking thing to me. But seeing her, I'll give it a shot and hope it works out, because she seems like she's worth it. There was not anybody else I met. I had previous relationships. I had my dalliances in the past and such. But I saw her. That's going to be my wife. and I hope it works out. If it doesn't, my heart will just be broken and whatever. But she was the one, and it had to be her. That was it. Huh. Yeah. I wish I had more, but that's honestly, yeah.
It's so wild because, I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, it doesn't.
No, exactly. It makes zero sense. And that's like, okay. Mm-hmm. I've come to terms with that. That's his story. He's sticking to it.
Consistency.
But really, though, like, we could have had a conversation and I could have been an entire idiot. I could have, you know, he doesn't smoke. He hates smoking. I could have smoked. Like, how does he know I don't have cigarettes, you know, in my purse and I'm about to go outside and like light up and I do a pack a day? I don't know. He doesn't know anything about me. He just saw me. I could be completely opposite of everything he might actually desire. I don't know how you look at somebody without ever having a conversation and make that kind of decision. But
you know,
that's his story.
Yeah, you can't control who you love. You love who you love. That's what it is. So, and I think we all have a type, I think, when we're, you know, when we're out there dating, looking for mm-hmm. somebody. So I think we say this is what I want. How many times do you actually end up with the person that fits that type? So I feel like I didn't, you know.
This is true, because I had a type. Harvey is not.
At all.
At all. I used to date tall, light-skinned, pretty boys. Like tall, light-skinned.
Dark skin, short, not the best looking. I'm dead. I'm the other side of the coin. Other side of the coin.
He's handsome. I used to date pretty, like, it used to be a prerequisite. You have to be more attractive than me. It was like, that was a prerequisite. Like, you had to be pretty.
And I'm not pretty, but I am what? I don't know what.
You're handsome.
I'm handsome. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Just keep dropping that in every once in a while. Just put it to
the ego. I shall.
Thank you.
See, have you got, you guys can't see him who are listening, but he's handsome.
He's a good looking man. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate
it. Yes.
That.
I believe couple. Somebody actually said that he was like the Wish version of Morris Chestnut.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
That person's funny.
My ringtone. Don't even play.
Sounds like a clever person.
Super sharp. Very witty.
So, Harvey, legit for you, it was love at first sight. Carice, when was it love for you? Because I know there was different things that went on, but when did you realize that, all right, he could be the one?
It was a couple of weeks into us like actually dating. So we were friends first for a while, and then when we were dating, everything went so hard so fast. Like every morning we would send each other these little notes, good morning, and it would just be like these, it's like getting a love letter at least once a day, every single day. Sometimes it wasn't first thing in the morning. So it might be like, good afternoon, my love. You know, I love you here, there, everywhere. It was like all this wonderfulness right from the start of us dating. And it was just so different from anything I had ever experienced. And we had such a connection. So 2 weeks into us dating, I went to Build-A-Bear and I got, I don't even know if you remember this. I went to Build-A-Bear. Well, he wasn't there when I went to Build-A-Bear, but he got the Build-A-Bear afterwards. But you could put those little voice chips in there. Mm-hmm. And so I got the little voice chip that said, I love you. And so I gave him the nice little Build-A-Bear and he squeezed it. And it's like, I love you. And it was so cute. Oh my God,
where was that?
And he was like, I love you too.
Oh my God.
And it was just, I love that.
Wow. You're so sorry.
Do you remember that?
I do. Okay. I do.
I don't think we have the bear.
No. Imagine that bear was so nice.
Don't ask.
I have to say, we were fast. It was, yeah. I mean, we were dating and then like a few weeks in, because October 17th, my birthday is the 29th. Of October. So 2 weeks later, I mean, we're like full-fledged, we're in and sending these texts. I'd sent you a text. Like, good morning, blah, 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 whatever. And that just became our thing for a while. It was like,
I mean, for months, we held on to that for a very long time. At some point at Christmas, I had taken some of those text messages and framed them. And like for a long time. Every now and then we'll fall back into it. Mm-hmm. Like if I send one or he randomly sends me something, you know, we'll fall back into it. But mm-hmm. it was great.
At least for me, in terms of those texts, and you know, this is not anything more than just me saying it. I've always said that I've never attracted women by the looks. I was always personality for me. Mm-hmm. That's just how I felt about me. So I always, you know, I attempted a love letter or two, whatever, but it just felt like to connect with you, like that next day, I just wanted to send a text to say, oh, good morning. I was so glad we got to hang out, whatever. And it just kind of became something. It was just a way to kind of communicate how I felt about you, because I didn't always have that feeling in previous relationships. So I think in the back of my mind, I wanted you to know as much as possible how I felt every day.
Yeah.
And even if it wasn't the best day, you still knew where I was coming from.
Every day was a good day. I mean, by the time we got that message, I could be sitting at work and I'm like, oh, I didn't get a message yet. Or he didn't respond to mine yet. And I'm just like, and then you get this message and it's this wonderful, like, you are loved. And oh,
love. Absolutely.
Screw you, coworkers.
Can't rain on my parade.
Leave me alone, Bob. Harvey loves me. You know?
It's so beautiful, though. I love it.
It is.
So how did you guys make time for each other as husband and wife, even though you guys were parents?
It took us a long time to get to that. Mm-hmm. So we got married. I was heavily pregnant. It took us, well, no, I was going to say it took us 10 years to actually get away, but that is not true. We had a couple of, you know, short weekend getaways mm-hmm. in that 10 year span. But once we had our first like week long, we had our first honeymoon. We renewed our vows at the 10 year mark and we had our first honeymoon. 10 years in, we spent a week away from our children. It was the best week of my whole entire life. And it was such a great week. And I think that was when we started really prioritizing more so. And the kids were older and, you know, so they didn't need us as much. But the first 10 years, it was very difficult. We didn't really ever have solo time or not too often because mm-hmm. we didn't really ask people to watch the kids. We're like, look at all these kids, like who is gonna want to watch all these kids? Yeah. So sometimes we might get somebody to take some of them or to take most of them. A lot of times, especially after we had the baby, mm-hmm. we would take Lexi, our littlest, we would take her with us. People at restaurants would get to know her and they're like so we were not very good at like having alone time the first decade of our marriage. But after we got away for a week and we're like, look, life exists outside of these children.
Ponder that.
Oh, new
world. We gotta do this more often. Mm-hmm. Date night.
Yeah. I mean, for us, if you think about it, so we got married on a Saturday, off on a Sunday, and back to work Monday. So, really? And I have to like fight to get that day off too, like up until a few days before. I was like, listen, I need this day off. And it had been declined. I'm like, I'm getting married on Saturday. I'm not coming in. So like, can we do something about this? And then eventually I got it. But it wasn't when she says we didn't have a honeymoon. We really didn't. We were living together. We got married. We went back home.
And we were super poor.
And we were broke. I mean,
the poorest people.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, when we actually got married the month before we did, you know, Justice of Peace, we were broke. We got that done, had one of my friends and her brother, they were there to be the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then after that, what did we do? We went to Burger King. That's how we celebrated. Value
menued it.
Yeah, man.
That was how we celebrated getting married. And then the next day, yeah. It's just life as usual. Mm-hmm. And so we were never really good at it.
Right. And then when we actually, we had the wedding, went home. I think we spent that night kind of opening the envelopes and the gifts and the stuff that we got from people. Mm-hmm. And then I had that Sunday off because I was working Sundays back then too. I got that weekend off. Monday, back to business. And it was just trying to build. And I think our marriage and our life, they really parallel each other. As the marriage improved, so did, you know, our situation. We had a small apartment, then we had a house, then we got a better house, and the kids got older. And I think to a degree, the relationship improved and everything happened. And that's the key. You have to stay in it.
Yeah.
You have to stick it out.
If we gave up that first year, that would have been crazy. But that first year was,
yeah,
it was a lot. It was stressful. We've had lows in the marriage where it's just like, he's sick of me and my mess. I'm sick of him and his mess. we just keep sticking it out, because I think at the end of the day, like, the best part for me is that he's my person. Like, there's no other person for me. I'm 100% convinced of that. There is no other person on this earth for me. Mm. And so where am I going? I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be annoying to me today, fine. Be annoying today, but get it together tomorrow, Harvey, because you're going to be here.
This really feels like something you need to say. Like, this doesn't feel like out of pocket. Like, Harvey, you know, it's Tuesday. It's about 3:00. Tomorrow, be nice. You know, I can feel you saying that. But to a degree, and that's really what it is. It's recognized marriage is ups and downs and stuff, but you don't go, you ride it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody better to ride this wave with than you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're awesome. We're awesome together. We've been through a lot of ish. We've been through it. And we're better for it.
Definitely.
So much better for it.
So there's a question going up. It's been going around. It's the age of all ages. You guys are married. So I'm going to ask you guys this, because there's a thing when people talk about marriage, some people say that marriage is hard. Marriage is hard work, or marriage just takes work, whether that's easy work, hard work. What are your thoughts about that? Where does marriage fall in the lineup?
Marriage is hard work. Marriage is very hard work. Marriage is something you have to commit yourself to every single day. Like I said, I wake up in the morning and I try to set my intentions. I've grown as a person. Hallelujah, growth. I wake up in the morning today. I intend to be my best self. Whatever happens, I need to show up as my absolute best self. So if I'm being irritated, I'm still going to put my best foot forward. Like, let me just set that intention. That way I can keep things as calm as possible. I think you have to keep wanting it every single day. Otherwise, the whole thing just goes by the wayside. You have to keep wanting it. So that is hard work. Can you imagine how long of your life? I mean, you get married in your 20s and now you're committing yourself to like 60 years of every single day. Ooh. Every single day.
That's a lot.
Right?
It's a commercial for divorce.
I was like, no, I quit. She said every day? Every single day.
It slowed it down so that he could hear every single. And you could see the look on her face. He'd return. Like, she's ridiculous. Like, every guy's always here.
He's always
here. Always here. But I think for me, I don't know if I would say it's hard work. For me, I don't think it's hard. It's effort. Mm-hmm. What I think it is that I'm present. And when you're present in any situation, things change and you have to stay in it. And things are going to change and you have to roll with the time. I'm good this day, but she's not. She's bad this day. I am. Everything is different and you have to stick it out. And I don't consider this work. I never have. Because I love this woman. Whatever life we have, this is the person I'm supposed to have it with these crazy kids and all. This is just what it's supposed to be. And for me, as long as I'm here, we'll figure it out. If I leave, that's a problem. And I'm never leaving. I've said this to her. If anything ever happened between us, I'm not getting married again. This is it. This is one shot. I'm not marrying somebody else again. This is the person I'm supposed to marry. So I don't know if it's not hard work, but whatever it is, it's worth it. And it's because it's her and because of what this is. We've grown, aside from her growing as from the person she is, and me too. We've started, bro. We've done so much. If there's a map that we could show where we started from to where we are now, to what we've become.
I believe Drake said it.
What did he say? Oh, started from the bottom and then, yeah.
To now
the,
we're here.
Yeah, yeah, literally. We really run the gamut. We've gone through a lot and it's worth it to me. So it's not work if you love what you're doing.
Nice. I love what I'm doing, but it's work.
Okay. I'm like, damn. Okay. See, this is when you just call me handsome, make me feel better about stuff. I'm so handsome. Thank you, baby.
Well, Harvey and Carice, before we let you guys go, first of all, we want to say thank you so much for taking the time out to come and talk to us and let us into your lives. Before we let you guys go, we want to ask you one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
I like that.
Age before beauty.
Oh, damn. Yes, marriage is definitely worth it.
Unanimous, yes.
I tell all my friends, listen, go to the store, find your closest location and pick up some marriage on the way home. Do it.
I don't tell my friends that.
Damn.
Go to the store and pick up some marriage on your way home. That's ridiculous. I would never tell anybody that. It's hard work. Okay. Don't just start that with anybody. Pick it up at the corner store.
Say that. Oh.
No, but is marriage worth it? Yes. It sounds super cliche, and I'm sure you've heard this a lot of times, but it has to be the right person. If it's not the right person, it's not worth it because, like I said, every single day, you have to remember you're choosing that person, okay? Every day. All the days.
Every day?
All of them.
Every one of them.
Every single one.
Making me question some stuff right here.
So handsome.
Yes. Such a beautiful couple.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Harvey and Carice, we thank you so much for being on our podcast. Please remind the folks what you guys have going on and where we can find you on the interwebs.
We have a podcast, Love is Black, where we're talking about love in the culture. We talk to a lot of beautiful couples and beautiful people with lots of melanin in their skin. You two aren't a couple, but you definitely were featured guests on our featured guests on our season 4. We've got season 5 coming. We're super excited to announce that we're going to be telling the ultimate Black love story. So we're going to be writing it as a book, and then each week it'll kind of drop with a different chapter. And so please, if you haven't already listened to the Love is Black podcast, subscribe. We're available on all podcast platforms. You can learn more about our podcast on loveisblackpodcast.com. Follow us also on socials at Love is Black Podcast. Harvey Laguerre does his own podcast as well, Men Are the Prize. You can find him at harveylaguerre.com and on socials
at
Men of Zealous Nature.
Men of Zealous Nature on Instagram. Same thing on Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, type in Harvey Laguerre and you'll get Love is Black Podcast or Men of the Prize. My podcast is, I'd like to think it's like a sequel to Love is Black, but it's just kind of a space for men, open, vulnerable, emotional space for men to just talk about anything. And I could only do that because I'm in such a great relationship that I'm able to be open and vulnerable. And I wanted to get other men to experience the same thing. So that's why I do that podcast. Our podcast drops every Thursday. Mine drops every Saturday. We're about to finish season 4, which means we will end up doing, when that's done, 120 episodes.
Wow. Four
seasons deep. We've done a lot. And for Men of the Prize, when my season 2 is done, probably around 70 or so episodes. So it's just communicating to the world and spreading Black love being represented in a positive fashion, which is, I think, the real reason we wanted to do our podcast.
Absolutely.
I wanted to see Black love in a happy state.
Yes.
And what better way to do it than to express ours, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having us. So happy to be here.
Thank you.
You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Marriage Worth It. You can also email us at marriageworthit@gmail.com.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?